I remember years ago, a brother in my ecclesia at the time came up to me. He was very nervous. It was Deacon Day, and he was very upset because, well, the other deacons had PowerPoint presentations to give, and he did not have a PowerPoint. He wasn't that technologically savvy. And I said, "Brother, it doesn't matter whether you have PowerPoint. It matters that your points have power." And we think that one of the most powerful points that we can have as the Lord's people are the messages of Scripture, and particularly those blessed promises that we find in Scripture. They comfort us profoundly. They comfort us deeply. One of the most beautiful sections of Scripture, as far as giving you and me encouragement in the Lord, is found in Romans, the 8th chapter, verses 31 through 39. And you know, sometimes as we read the Scripture, there may not be a melody associated with it. We may not be singing it, but in a very real sense, we feel a melody in our heart. We sing the hymn, "My life goes on in endless song, above earth's lamentation." And that song that resonates in our hearts each day is a result of the praise and the thankfulness we have to the Heavenly Father for His direction, for His protection, for His overruling in our daily lives. Paul admonished Timothy, "Give attention to the public reading of Scripture." We took that admonition to heart in our own little ecclesia back east and began a process of reading through the Psalms, having a psalm reading each Sunday before the meeting. Now, I know when generally we're settling down in our ecclesia meetings, as the meeting is starting, there's still a lot of rustling around and books adjusted and things done this and people leaning over to say, "I talked with brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so and they sent their love to you," and there's like a buzz hanging over the room. But we have found that the reading of Scripture helps the Spirit of the Lord to sink into the brethren, and it settles us and we find great power in it. The Lord loves us, and it is a love that is continuous and fervent and sure at all times. Let's read this together. After all the arguments that he had presented up to this point in this towering epistle, the book of Romans, Paul comes to this profound conclusion. In the face of all this, what is there left to say? If God is for us, who can be against us? He that did not hesitate to spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, can we not trust such a God to give us, with him, everything else that we could need? Who would dare to accuse us, whom God has chosen? The judge himself has declared us free from sin. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. Can anything separate us from the love of God in Christ? Can trouble, pain, or persecution? Can lack of clothes and food, danger to life and limb, the threat of force of arms? Indeed, some of us know the truth of the ancient text. For your sake, we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. No. In all these things, we win an overwhelming victory through Him who has proved His love for us. I've become absolutely convinced that neither death nor life, neither messenger of heaven nor monarch of earth, neither what happens today or what may happen tomorrow, neither a power from on high nor a power from below nor anything else in God's whole world has any power to separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ, our Lord. No external force can separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let us never forget that. The adversary would have us doubt it. Our own human weaknesses would begin to doubt it. Our frailties become so evident to us and can make us feel estranged and alienated from God, but God is for us. And if He be for us, who can be against us? And is He willing to cut us off so readily, so quickly for an offense that we have committed? No. He committed to us through the offering up of His Son. That is how invested God is in His plan. He gave His beloved Son to die for us. Shall He not then with Him freely give you and me all things necessary for life eternal? We delight to serve the Lord through Jesus Christ. We trust in Him, by whom we have access into this grace wherein we stand. Brethren, raise your voices with mine in singing the sentiments of trusting in Jesus. Those last two lines are so thrilling. To see Him face to face, and glory, and what grace has begun. The heavenly hope, the heavenly promises are so profoundly stirring and encouraging and strengthening and motivating. We think about these things You know, I think the Lord has given us pictures of majesty in nature that can give us some sort of idea, some sensation of what it must be like in the eternal realm. Some idea of what the glory of God truly is like. Thank God that through Jesus we may approach and enter into this narrow way to life. We heard the call. Our Lord Jesus said, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." We find it interesting that Jesus stressed the phrase, "my yoke and my burden." Because in the world, those who have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ are all yoked. They may be yoked in relationships, in their marriage, their families, their jobs. They're all yoked in some direction or other. And everyone bears their burdens, the weight of troubles that life affords. The troubles, the burdens of worry about family members, their children, their spouse, their parents, the weight of worries about their job, the weight of worries about finance, the weight of worries about all those things that can pop in your mind at 3 a.m. and make you wide awake wondering about what will happen. And those are heavy burdens because they have no easy or obvious outcome. They have no sure promises behind them, but the yoke of Jesus and the burden of Jesus are light. And they're light for a few reasons. They're light because we know that He is our great shepherd and that He makes our burdens no heavier and no lighter than they need to be. Because the burdens we bear in Christ are all for a purpose that is eternal. And to be yoked together with Jesus, to be held side by side, walking with Him in life's way, what could be better and more assuring than to be yoked together with the wisest, most loving, most just, most kind, most godly, most spiritual man who ever walked the planet? The yoke is easy. I think we should sing about it. Let us raise our voices again. The easy yoke.
His yoke is easy, His burden is
Jesus said, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." Sometimes people refer to the Bible as the living word. I was not raised in the Bible student movement. I was raised a Lutheran. And as a child, my mother proposed a challenge to me, and she said, "I'll tell you what. I will give you a dime for every psalm that you read." And I was a very entrepreneurial 10-year-old. I thought, I'll be rich. And so I set about reading psalms. And after I had read maybe 5 or 6 of them, I approached my mother. I said, it was 5 or 6. And she gave me the 5 dimes. And I said, "Mom, you know what? I really don't want the money. As I read it, I felt something inside. Something really powerful. Something wonderful." And she said, "Yep, that's the Bible, son. That's the way it is. That's God's word." It struck me then. It sticks with me now. The living word. These are the streams of living waters that Jesus leads us by, because he's our shepherd. And he takes such excellent care of us so that we as little children might not worry about the circumstances of daily life, but that he, our shepherd, is there to help, to guide, to protect. He said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, because they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." We don't listen to the voice of strangers. We listen to the clear words of our Lord, and we advocate the reading of the Gospels on a continual basis to completely familiarize ourselves with a message of the Gospels and to live in the moment when Jesus shared these blessed truths with his disciples. We follow him through life's paths, and none of our lives has been without difficulty. In each of our lives, there have been various tragedies at various levels, various challenges. As a matter of fact, we're told by the apostle that there's nothing that has happened to us, only those things that are common to mankind. And that's true. You know, if the church was made up of people whose lives would be fitting for a Steven Spielberg $200 million special effects-laden spectacular motion picture, how could the common man relate to that? I don't think they could. But our lives are lives filled with the tragedies and concerns and issues of the common man. But what makes it different? The Holy Spirit acting on our minds as we react to those circumstances. And the education of the Word of God that has instilled the principles of God in our mind and heart to teach us how to respond appropriately, how to respond in faith to all the issues that life presents us. I feel that in my life I can truly say that all the way, my Savior has led me. Let's sing praises to him and his faithfulness in leading each of us.
Oh, Jesus led me all the way. This my song through endless ages. Jesus led me all the way.
The hope and prospect of those endless ages is not a dream. It is a hope. It is a scripturally described hope. And hope in the scriptures is not an ephemeral wish. Hope is the assurance of things not yet seen. It's going to happen. Endless ages. When we reflect back on these days, and by the way, I like to think of these times when we come together in our little conventions as our good old days right now. These are our good old days when we come together and burn more brightly and more fervently as embers burn together more brightly and fervently when they're gathered together. Jesus led us all the way. And we look to the heavens and think of that day sometime in 10,000 years, a million years, when we reflect on the kindness of God that He showed us in this present life. These are thoughts that are very dear, very comforting, and encourage us to abide in the Father. Jesus said, "If any man will be my disciple, he must abide in me. And anyone who abides in me must also abide in the Father, I in him and he in me, and you in the two." That is the blessedness of our present life as well. That is the blessedness of God's inseparable love. I think the hymn "Abide with Me" expresses it well. In those evening hours when we wish to reflect on the day and the prospects before us. So again, brethren, let us raise our voice as a congregation of the Lord's people and express the sentiments of "Abide with Me." implore the Lord to abide with us, and he does. In the daylight hours are usually more carefree than the night. We like it in the light more than in the dark, but we remember what Job said. The light and the dark, they're all the same to you. You see as clearly in the dark as you do in the light, O Lord. And then in the night, the heavens put on a marvelous display. The psalmist David, in looking at the heavens, was inspired to write one of the most beautiful, comforting, poetic psalms that we have, Psalm 19. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it. And there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, much more than fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. The day will dawn, our time goes on. When this mortal life comes to an end, there is the hope of the heavenly, the assurance of the heavenly. Brethren, it's been a blessed day of convention. Thank you for sharing this time, these scriptures, these meditations together. We hope that together we'll be mutually edified, encouraged, strengthened, and find the joy of the Lord in our hearts in these things. And so now, as we bring this meeting to a close, let's express the thoughts of one more hymn. It's one of my favorites, although parting is sweet sorrow indeed. Let us sing our final hymn this evening, the parting hymn.
Heavenly Father, make this age name, grant thy blessing ere we part. Take us in. Thank you.
blessed moments in these, our good old days, that we share together. May we always acknowledge the inseparable love of God and the richness of our heritage of faith.